All right. Hello. Great to see you all. Great to see the folks online. Welcome. We live in a world today where people just decide for themselves what's true. They'll maybe decide that adultery and lying aren't wrong anymore. They'll decide, whether for themselves whether COVID's real. Decide for themselves who really won an election. Yeah, today we're going to talk about fake news and alternative facts, and living in a post-truth world. We're gonna have fun today, so get ready. And let me say this at the start. This is a serious problem, but it's not a new problem. Think about it. Didn't the serpent back in the garden say to Eve, you know what God told you about the tree? That's just fake news. You should just decide for yourself what's true. See, this is not a new problem for us humans. No, it's not a new problem at all, and it's something that we all struggle with. How do we know the truth? Who can we believe? It's often easier just to believe ourselves. And I also want to say this isn't a political problem. It's a human problem. You know, Democrats don't suffer from this any more or less than Republicans do. Now, because of my age, I probably noticed this problem first with Democrats, with liberals. Bill Clinton, you might know, committed adultery in the White House and then lied about it. And somehow, Democrats, liberals, they just decided for themselves that it wasn't such a big deal, right? And many liberals had already decided that truth is subjective, it's relative. You know, we just get to decide for ourselves what's true. And you know, Republicans, conservatives, they're no better. Donald Trump was no stranger to adultery and to lying. Many conservatives decide for themselves what's true. It's how we can tune in to CNN and Fox News and see two entirely different pictures of the world. And don't even get me started on the internet. You know, the internet is not designed to tell you the truth. The algorithms work to keep you on the internet, viewing ads. It's showing you stuff. It's feeding you things that you're predisposed to want to see, to agree with, regardless of the truth. How do we know what's true? Who we can believe? This is a serious problem. Do we see it in our own lives? I think lots of us are deep into this problem, but we don't see it. So Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, break off the spirit of deception. Show us the truth today. And I also want to say at the start that no matter where we're at with this, maybe we are neck deep in conspiracy theories, or we're just listening to, you know, lies that we tell ourselves, little lies. Wherever we're at with this, the goal today is not to leave feeling sad or guilty. Now, sure, the Bible, you know, it condemns liars, and Satan is the father of all lies. And if you think about it, whatever, whoever we listen to as truth, our ultimate source of truth in life, that's our God. Do we really want cable news, the internet, some politician, some celebrity to be our God? Oh, that can get ugly. And we need to face the ugliness of our idolatry. But what should stand out today is how beautiful the truth is. The truth is amazingly beautiful, God's truth. And to look at that, we're going to look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible, and it is like this long, sappy love song to the Bible. You know, last week we started a series of talks about the Psalms, and the Psalms are great. They help us cry out to God when we're in trouble, right? When we need help. So God, Lord, we're in trouble. All the fake news, disinformation, we need your help. We need the truth. And the Psalms, they also teach us. They're full of wisdom. They're like the playlist for life. So today we're going to learn, you know, what the truth can do for us and how to use the truth properly and how to know the truth. But best of all, the Psalms help connect us with God, to experience him and his presence. So today we'll see that God gives us the truth, and the truth sets us free, and we can know this beautiful truth that is beautiful just like God, and we want to experience that, because as we experience that beauty and that truth, we'll experience God. He will change us. That's what we're after today. So, Psalm 119. It is long. There's 176 verses in Psalm 119, and I'm not going to read them all. We're going to get a sampling here, you know, just a little a taste of it. And I want to tell you at the start, when it talks about God's commands, his statutes, his decrees, his ways, it's talking about the truth. It's talking about the Bible. So, here we go. Lord, we offer this song to you. We offer this prayer to you. Meet us in it. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me and teach me your law. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. May your unfailing love come to me, Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I can answer anyone who taunts me, for I trust in your word. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame. For I delight in your commands because I love them. I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Make your face shine on your servant and teach me your decrees. Yet you are near, Lord, and all your commands are true. Long ago I learned from your statutes that they were established, that you established them to last forever. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. I wait for your salvation, Lord, and I follow your commands. I obey your statutes, for I love them greatly. Amen. And that's just a sampling. There's so much more. You should read it for yourself. So, all right, today, how do we know the truth? Who can we believe? Simple. God. God gives us the truth. God gives us the objective truth. Psalm 119 is telling us the Bible is full of God's laws, his statutes, his decrees, his ways, the things, the words in the Bible, those are God's words. As it says right there in the first verse, notice this, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Now, it doesn't say laws, plural, it's law, singular. And throughout the Bible, it refers to the whole Bible as the law of the Lord. Jesus did this. Jesus did this in John 15. He quotes from a psalm, from a poem, and he calls it the law. Which is a little weird, because there are laws in the Bible, right? The Ten Commandments and stuff. But most of the Bible is stories, narratives, history, poems. But it's all the law of God. It's all authoritative. So we can't just look at the Bible and pick parts and go, oh yeah, this is God's law here, and this is inspired, but not this part, right? No, it's all God's truth. Do we accept the whole Bible as God's truth? Because we should. I mean, because of who God is, right? He's the creator. It's like, if we don't, it's like not listening to our mechanic when they tell us about our car, or our doctor when they tell us about our body. God's kind of like the expert on humans. And if we're followers of Jesus, then God's our king. And if you don't listen to your king, if you ignore him and don't obey him, pretty soon he's not your king anymore. And yet this is hard for humans. It says in verse 152, long ago I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever. But many of us, particularly liberals, but conservatives too, we have trouble with this. We're not sure that it really lasts forever. Is it always relevant, the stuff in the Bible, permanently relevant? I've heard many folks say to me things like, oh, you know, when I was a kid, I read the Bible, I believed everything in the Bible, but now that I'm older, I see that some things in the Bible are offensive. They're culturally regressive, right? You know, I just can't accept those traditional ways. I'm a free thinker. Yeah. That people say stuff like that to pastors. They do. Even more people think it, right? And lots of us, we don't even think it, we just do it. It's how so many liberals, they often think, well, I love the parts of the Bible that are about loving our enemy and, you know, liberation and social justice, but they can easily ignore the parts of the Bible about purity and judgment and sin. Whereas conservatives, they can often, you know, love the parts of the Bible that are about obedience and belonging and family, and then just ignore the parts of the Bible that are about turning the other cheek or taking care of the poor, immigrants. Do we see any of this in ourselves? The thing is, us humans, we want freedom, right? We want to be free to decide for ourselves what's true. But ironically, that's not real freedom. Jesus talked about this. Jesus talked about this in John 8. He said, "Hold to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Psalm 119 basically says the same thing in verse 45. It says, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. But this is so counterintuitive to us, that the more we submit to the law of God, to his precepts, the freer we are. So let's unpack this. For starters, we are all trapped in our own cultural perspectives, right? And cultural perspectives change over time. I mean, that's easy to see, right? Many of our parents say cringeworthy things, even sexist, racist things. But just imagine 100 years, just imagine if we go back 100 years, right? Our grandparents said things and believed things that were darn right embarrassing. But do we ever think about what things will be like 100 years from now? Our great-grandchildren will look at things that we say now and believe now, and they'll think they are super dumb, like really embarrassing. Do we ever think about that? No, most of us don't. Because we think we got it figured out now, right? We think our culture today is it. This is it. This is the high point. This is the pinnacle of human existence. Come on. We're trapped. We don't see our own blind spots. We can't see them. And wouldn't it be ironic if we are rejecting, we're ignoring parts of the Bible because of some conviction we have today that our grandchildren are going to think is stupid, is embarrassing? We're trapped. We can't break out of our cultural box. The only way to see your own cultural box, to break out of it, is from outside your culture. And do you know what's outside our culture? The Bible. The Bible is beyond our culture. It actually allows freedom from the cultural box that we're in for us to break out. If you think about it logically, if the Bible is really true beyond any culture, then it would show the flaws. It would offend every culture. And it does. And let me tell you, this is a powerful form of freedom in the Bible. Followers of Jesus have used this for centuries to challenge their culture, to bring change within their culture. Their culture was headed in one direction for like forever. It was going in one direction, and followers of Jesus have been able to say revolutionary things, to point in another direction, to point in the direction of, I don't know, building hospitals and orphanages, or marrying for love rather than status, or freeing slaves and fighting for social justice. All those things are in the Bible. They weren't in the way the culture was going at the time. Many of us, all the fake news in the world, the disinformation, we just want to tune out, right? We want to just keep our heads down. But let me tell you, that's not the way of Jesus. If we press into the Word of God, if we obey it, if we repent, God will allow us to be powerful prophetic voices in this world for truth, to help bring our culture closer to the kingdom of God. Will we answer that call? Please answer that call. But that's not all, okay? It's not all. Let's look at this freedom in context, how it plays out in our life. Starting in verse 42 in the psalm, it says, May your unfailing love come to me, Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I can answer anyone who taunts me, for I trust in your word. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings, and will not be put to shame. For I delight in your commands because I love them. Okay, picture the kind of freedom where taunting means nothing to us, right? Where we don't care what kings or anyone else thinks, because we don't care about people's opinions of us. We don't care about status or money or even whether we live or die. See, by pressing into God's truth, we don't just get set free, you know, intellectually. There is no more powerful source of psychological freedom than actually to have God and only God as the one thing that rules in our life alone. Only God. He's our only king. Because I don't know about you, but in my life, I've served some pretty miserable lords. Pride, greed, perfectionism, to name a few. Whatever else you're serving in your life, just imagine what it would be like to serve Jesus alone. The freedom of that. That's what this is offering us. Okay, so again, God gives us the truth in the Bible. That truth sets us free powerfully. But that's not all that's here. The psalm also shows us how to use the truth properly. So let's just look at verse 105. Your light is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. This is beautiful. Seriously, I know this is stitched on many like pillows in people's homes, right? Your word is a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my path. It's a beautiful verse. But I gotta say, many followers of Jesus, we don't quite get this right. Particularly conservatives, but liberals too. Right? The primary calling in this verse is not to study the intricacies of the light, the lamp. Right? But many of us, we actually love the trivia. Right? We could name all of David's sons, right? Or we could give you the seven trumpets in Revelation in order. You know, we've studied blood moons, and we've consulted maps of the Holy Land, and we've contemplated the 144,000. But you know what? When you have a lamp, what you do is you don't stare at the lamp. You don't admire the bulb, right? The purpose of a lamp isn't to illuminate itself. It's to shine light on everything else. It's a light unto our path. So are we using the lamp in our life? How many of us, our primary views on, say, immigration, are shaped more by Fox News than they are by Jesus? Right now, could we name five verses in the Bible that talk about how Christians should treat immigrants? How many of us, our primary views on sexuality are shaped more by Hollywood than they are the Bible? Could we name five verses, on how to use sex properly from out of the Bible? How many of us, our primary views on the COVID vaccine are shaped by Facebook or the internet? What verses in the Bible could guide us on whether or not we should get vaccinated? For me, I've been vaccinated, and I did it to protect myself, sure, but I also did it because Jesus in John 15 says, love each other. And getting vaccinated was a way I could protect the people around me. Now, We don't all have to be in complete agreement about how the Bible tells us to live, right? We have the lamp, but we still don't all see clearly. That's okay, right? But let's use the lamp, right? Let's actually look to the Bible as our primary source of truth. I'll tell you, what we want here as a Christian community is a place where we are constantly wrestling with what the Bible says about how to actually live our lives, all of it. We want to be a place where we feel challenged sometimes, right? Where we're humble enough to admit that none of us knows all the truth, but God does. And the Holy Spirit is really good at using the Bible to show us the truth. Let's be that kind of community where we're trying to find the truth in the Bible. All right, as I said before, though, the thing that should really stand out today is not that God is trying to bang us over the head with the truth, right? He doesn't put us in a truth headlock here, you know? He's not guilting us. He's not shaming us, trying to make us afraid of the truth. Really, what he's doing is he's inviting us to trade up from our lies, right? He's inviting us to fall in love with the truth because the truth is beautiful. And sure, at the start, that seems kind of weird that this psalm is this like sappy love song to the Bible. I rejoice in following your statutes as I rejoice in great riches. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame, for I delight in your commands because I love them. I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. I obey your statutes, for I love them greatly. Does that seem kind of weird? To love laws and statutes and decrees? You know, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, it's pretty easy to respect those things, but to love them, to delight in them? And then Jesus comes along, right? And in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he like takes it all up a notch, right? You got to love your enemy. You got to, you know, go the extra mile. Don't look at anyone lustfully. Be perfect like your heavenly Father is perfect. Come on, Jesus. This stuff is crushing, right? Statutes. It's more like statues, right? Giant marble statues. I can picture them just falling down and crushing us. I think Mark Twain actually got this, right? Because Mark Twain had a recurring nightmare about going to bed at night and having his huge Bible come down and crush him on the chest and suffocate him. Boom. How can we actually love? How can we find the laws of God delicious, right? How can that happen? Jesus. If we have a relationship with Jesus, our relationship to the law changes. It talks about this in Galatians. Galatians, it says, "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God. On our own, the law will crush us. It will suffocate us." But then Jesus comes along. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Do you see, when Jesus, the only Son of God, came and died on that cross, he took the curse for us. He paid the punishment for our sins. In a way, he was crushed by the Bible, by Mark Twain's Bible, there on the cross. That's what happened to Jesus. He did that so we don't have to be. Have we accepted that? He did it for us. If we haven't, there's no time like the present, right? Jesus, you can be crushed for me, okay? I'll never be good enough. You know, I'll never live up, Jesus. You can take the punishment for me. And when we do that, when we accept what he's given to us, it changes. We have a new relationship with Jesus, and we have a new relationship with the law. And Psalm 119 points to this new relationship. It says, make your face shine on your servant. That's our new relationship with God, face to face with him, in relationship. And teach me your decrees. Again, our big question today is, how do we know the truth? How can we know the truth? Well, sure, God gives us the truth, the Bible. We've got it. But without a relationship with Jesus, that truth will crush us. With a relationship with Jesus, though, The thing that would crush us, this horrible thing that hangs over our head, becomes beautiful because it's a way to know Jesus and love him and interact with him. How do we know the truth? We know the truth by knowing Jesus. So, really practically, okay? In this post-truth, alternative facts, you know, disinformation world, how can we press into this? Three easy ways. Three steps, all right? We'll keep it simple. One, many of us today are upset. We're upset, if we're honest. Maybe we're upset because there's no more, like, shared consensus on what truth is. Maybe. I think most of us, we're upset with the people we disagree with, right? We're upset with them, okay? And we want to cry out and yell at them and, you know, post, like, nasty comments about them on the internet. Stop. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. Let's get off the internet and let's get on our knees, okay? And let's tell Jesus what's bothering us. Those foolish, those evil Republicans, those evil Democrats, look at what they're doing, Jesus. Look at how they're destroying this world. You know, let's press in and complain to Jesus about all of it. And then let's listen to what he says. Because you know that's how a conversation works, right? When you're in a relationship, you say stuff, the other person says stuff. We get to know Jesus by talking to him. Let's cry out to him and listen to him on this. Second, many of us today, our primary source of knowledge, guidance, opinions isn't Jesus, right? It's cable news, it's the internet, it's some celebrity, it's our buddies at work, whatever it is, right? You know, many of us, we know better what Rachel Maddow or Tucker Carlson would say about something than we know what Jesus would say about it. Let's change that. Let's read our Bibles more. Let's read our Bibles. We talked last week about reading the book of Psalms. Let's start there and read the book of Psalms. Right? Let's get to know Jesus by reading the Bible. Third, okay? Remember, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, if you actually do the stuff, then you'll know the truth. Then you'll know the truth. Let's do the stuff. Let's do what Jesus wants. Let's actually obey him. Now, this is where the rubber really meets the road, doesn't it? And this is where we can see that when we have a relationship with Jesus, our relationship to the truth, to the Bible, changes. Because before, maybe we were trying to obey the things in the Bible because we wanted to be saved, but we'll never be good enough. No, if we're followers of Jesus, if we have that real relationship with him, we obey the things in the Bible. We do the stuff to know the truth, to know Jesus, to love him back. How do we know the truth? Repent. Repent. Turn and go to Jesus. That's how we know the truth. But let's repent of our pride and let's actually try to obey the Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount. God will meet us in that and he'll show us the truth. Some of us, maybe we need to repent of our sexual sin and try celibacy and let Jesus show us the truth about sex. Some of us, maybe we need to repent of our selfishness and actually care for the poor and immigrants and let Jesus show us the truth about how he loves the poor and immigrants. Whatever it is we need to repent of, the Holy Spirit will show us. He'll show us where we need to see the truth. Let's press into that. Come, Holy Spirit, and show us the truth. All right, I'd like to invite you all to stand up right now. At home, you know, you can stand up there too, but what we're doing is we're moving into ministry time. We're taking a posture where we can converse more with God. And we're going to, as we're talking to God, a great way to connect with him is to let someone pray for you. So I'm going to invite the ministry team, the folks trained in prayer, to come forward. Online, you can click on the request prayer button. There's folks there that would love to pray for you. So let us get started on this. Holy Spirit, come. I invite your presence even more now. And God, I suspect that a talk like this, many of us hear this talk and go, oh, that was great. You know, I know people that should hear that. you know, that's for other people, right? That's for the folks who, you know, that don't agree with me. That's for other people. But God, today, let us see how this talk is for us. Again, in Jesus' name, I ask that you break off the spirit of deception. You show us where we haven't been seeking your truth, Jesus, where we've been accepting other truths. And Lord, I think the simple fact is that we divide into two groups. Some of us, we just reject parts of the Bible. We say, yeah, no, I don't believe that stuff. I don't believe that. Well, God, today, show us the beauty of the Bible and how it is all true. Come, Lord, with your love and show us its power. And then, God, I think there's a whole other group of us who we're like, yeah, sure, the Bible's true. But then we just ignore huge parts of it. The parts that challenge us and challenge our behavior, challenge our preconceptions and notions. God, help us to stop ignoring parts of your word. Help us to use the lamp to shine on our lives and show us where to go. God, come now and highlight the places where we need to repent, where we need to stop doing the things we're doing and go towards you, and you will show us the truth. God, help us to do that individually, to come to you now with open hands and say, I want the truth, God. I want you to be the thing in my life that's in charge. And then, Lord, I also ask as a community, as a Vineyard community, that we can be the kind of place that uses the Bible to guide us, that we can become a prophetic voice here in the Twin Ports, that we can talk about hard issues, whatever they be, from gun violence to police shootings to everything, God. But the question that we will keep asking each other is, what does the Bible say about that? Not what cable news says. What does the Bible say about that, Jesus? Let the Bible guide us. Let us be prophetic voices that we can bring healing and change to our community, that we can make our community more like the kingdom of God. Make us a light. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. We need your love. We need to see the beauty of the truth now. We ask for that. Amen. Again, if you'd like some help pressing into this, we would love to pray for you. You know, maybe you'd like to press into repentance. Maybe what you're excited about being part of this and you want to pray for that. Please come up and let someone pray for you. Press that button online. If there's anything in your life you need prayer for, maybe it's physical healing, you're struggling in a relationship, with your finances, we'd love to pray for you today. We'd love to help connect you with the living God. They're going to lead us in some more worship here, and I'm just going to invite you to slow down and listen to what God has to say. Get to know Jesus a little more this morning. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard.